Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was the chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 12-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Dragon Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wise boy, ooty, dragon wine. Wise boy, ooty, dragon wine.
Hey! Good morning and welcome to another edition of Sip the Chew Show. I'm Mike the Sip, and that's Stu the Chew. So anyway, in case you were having problems figuring that out, it's a warm one out there. It's going to be another warm one according to the weather this morning.
Yeah, we're dead up in the middle of 6 months worth of summer.
We're over
the halfway point.
Yeah.
Just 3.5 months more, folks, and we'll see 70-degree temperatures. It's really not been bad because of the rain.
Yeah.
It really
– well
– my power bill last month was only $145.
I'm not even going to tell you mine. Uh-huh. And we got a brand-new air conditioner. And had to put in 4 months after buying a house, I had to put a brand-new air conditioning system in it.
What did that cost you? Because I hear the prices are just –
$14,000.
Yeah, that's insane.
We just had it at – out of my power bill.
And, I'm running a couple of $125 window units.
But
one each end of the house, and I don't even have them on full blast.
Yeah.
Keeps the whole house cool.
But you're covered in trees, too.
Yeah.
You're shady.
Yeah, but
you're shady.
Yeah. Honestly, that house will not get over about 80 degrees with no AC because of that. But that's a water oak.
Yeah.
And it's a little over 50 years old.
Oh, it's on its way out.
Oh, I've got one giant The dent that was on the car on the back was a limb that came down on Thanksgiving Day, so I don't park the car under the tree anymore.
I think Bill Finch said that those things are dying as soon as they come up from an acorn.
Yeah, so. But there's a giant limb that's on the roof that came down about a year ago, and but it's still alive, so it's heavy.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to get up there with a chainsaw and cut it off in sections.
There you go. Fire.
But it's not hurting anything now.
Firewood.
Exactly. It'll be
grill,
firewood.
Grill.
Yeah. Well, fireplace, so I don't have to run the heater in the winter. It is amazing how much different my power bill is if I have firewood and run my fireplace.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be in half. Without it, it'll be over $300 in Mobile to heat. I had a, before Lightning took it out, I had about a 35-year-old heat pump on that house.
Mm-hmm.
And Lightning knocked it out. I saw a HVAC guy, not HVAC folks, it's HVAC. He said, and he showed a picture of one kind of like mine and said, if you've got one of these, just keep it because the parts are everywhere. It can be infinitely fixed and it doesn't cost the $12,000 to $14,000 that a new unit costs today. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't 5 or 6 years ago. We put a new one in the house next door and it was $4,500. So yeah, why the $10,000 more in just 5 years?
First one I bought over 20 years ago was just $2,000.
Yeah. I mean, this is 5 years that the price has gone from $4,000 to $14,000.
They keep changing the Freon and all that.
That is a big
issue.
But
I'll tell you, you don't want to, right, like the weather right now, to me, it's too hot to grill outside. And then you go come inside and you turn the stove on and turn the oven on. It makes it hot then. So it's...
That's why you need an air fryer.
I have an air fryer. I've got two of them.
The ones with the little bucket are useless to me.
Yeah, I know.
You can't put hardly anything in them. Get the ones that are the size of a toaster, a big toaster oven.
Got one of those.
Yep. And you know what? I got mine specifically because it was big enough for a frozen pizza.
Ours has a toaster up top and then an air fryer here. Then I got the Ninja. Both of these are Ninjas, by the way.
Ninja's a good product.
That looks like a
and
George
Foreman.
If you
want to sponsor us, I will say how good your product is all the time.
It looks like a big George Foreman thing. Mm. You lift it up, and it cooks bacon perfectly. I have cooked.
You don't need no bacon, man.
I have cooked perfect
Filet. For those worried about him, he's talking about turkey bacon.
No.
Soy bacon.
Real bacon. Oink, oink bacon. And I have cooked perfect filet mignon in my air fryer.
I tell you, when Red Star Tavern was open, they used for their steaks what's called an over-under broiler.
Mm-hmm.
You set it on, you pull a shelf out, you set, and that's where the grill is. You set the steak on it, and you push the shelf back in. There's a broiler coming up underneath, traditional charbroiler, and then one on top blowing straight down. That's an over-under. That makes awesome steaks.
Mm-hmm.
You really get the crust on the outside. And, you know, one of the issues that I have, like, if you go to Waffle House where mm-hmm. they do a really thin steak, to get caramelization on it, you're going to have to eat it medium or better. If you do medium rare or rare on a thin steak or a thin burger, you get none of the Maillard reaction, which is what makes it brown and crusty on the outside. You're just sitting there eating a raw piece of meat, basically. Yeah. Without that char on the outside.
Or overcooked.
Yeah. That char on the outside is what makes the flavor. So you need thick. So best burger, just straight up plain burger, no frills that I've ever had, is in New Orleans, which is not known for being a burger city, at Port au Call, the dive bar on Esplanade, or however it's pronounced. But they're rare, medium rare, medium burgers are not mashed down. They're about an inch thick.
Yeah.
And then they mash down for medium well and well. That allows you to get all the char and everything of a medium well burger, and it still be nice and medium rare on the inside. The other thing I like about that, their choice of cheese is none or shredded cheddar. And no, we're not going to melt it. What touches the meat melts, and that's important. Because I understand liking the texture of the melted cheese. It's luxurious. It's gooey. I get it. But when you melt cheese, you lose flavor. There's no way to avoid it. Cheese has more flavor not melted. So when you put the shredded cheese on top, what touches the burger actually melts and gives you the gooiness. And what doesn't melt gives you flavor. And that's why, when you make macaroni cheese, you should only use sharp cheddar for that. If you use medium sharpness cheddar cheese, you'll get what Church's Fried Chicken serves.
Mm-hmm.
A mac and cheese that does not taste like cheese.
Hmm.
But they're putting the same amount of cheese in it, but they're not using sharp cheddar.
What makes it sharp?
I believe it's salt.
Okay.
I believe that's basically what it is. I do not know enough about fromagerie to really speak on it. I don't feel confident in it. But I think it's just salt.
Fromagerie.
Fromage. The French word for cheese, fromagerie, would be the craft of cheese making.
Huh. Yeah. Hmm. Not craft cheese.
well, craft shredded cheddar.
Craft was easier to say craft than fromage.
Craft does make a shred that's very interesting, and I use it in some of my redneck dishes because it is shredded cheddar and shredded American.
Hmm.
So you get real cheese and that artificial cheese. You get both the things you like from, because American does not have a lot of flavor. It tastes better cold than it does melted. When you melt it, it loses. Right, but it has a wonderful texture to it.
And it's kind of where it sucks hiding pills for your dogs.
That's what you need your cheese whiz for. Or, you know, they actually make little edible things to put the pill in and give them.
They figure it out.
Yeah. But yeah, so that burger, it, that menu is so simple. I think it's a filet mignon,
mm-hmm.
a T-bone, a salad, a cheeseburger. And your options for sides are a baked potato, a salad.
I've eaten there before.
Or nothing.
We went over there for the Italian-Irish parade in Metairie, and then we went over to the French Quarter, and that was our first stop.
Yeah. Got, well, that's not actually in the French Quarter.
No, it's not. It's up around Frenchman Street.
Yeah, it's the Marigny, I believe they pronounce that, which is a cool, cool neighborhood.
Well, that area.
It is the modern French Quarter in New Orleans.
Well, you got Frenchman Street, and you got Esplanade. That area, which, yeah, it's just a block or two from each other, and it's all walkable, and it's really nice.
More modern things there, a lot more diversity in the cuisine. I interviewed for a restaurant job to be the executive chef at a, you would love this, a rum bar that's going to open there. And so I got a chance to experience it. 251-343-0106.
Is there an echo in here?
For more than a decade, they are the dynamic duo of dining. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, Stu.
Hey, Michael. Gee, anything new recently?
I ate this thing. Had some, I don't know if it was influenced by James Bond or whatever.
Bon mi.
Man, that was good.
Yeah, we Mike really and I tried out, as we promised, the new Bon Mi Cafe last week on Azalea Road. Right next to Pot of Pho, if you're trying to fix it in your head.
Pho.
Yeah, so also Vietnamese That's, food.
Yeah.
I've been to Pot of Pho, phenomenal pho. I don't recall seeing a banh mi on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perfect that a banh mi shop is right next door. And then you've also got Share Tea, which is a chain, I believe it started in Korea, but I'm not sure. And it's the milk teas and boba tea, which I love. I have found that in Vietnam, they really don't do a whole lot of dessert, but they will pour sweetened condensed milk in or on just about anything.
Hmm.
And that's what a lot of the milk teas are, is it's tea, and then they pour the sweetened condensed milk into it.
Hmm.
And then different flavorings. And then the boba is tapioca pearls that are at the bottom. It's kind of like gummy bears, only healthy. And there's a huge divide out there with boba tea. You either love the tapioca pearls or you hate the tapioca pearls. But there's no one that's just like, yeah, I could take it or leave it. I love them. It's a neat tech. It's a drink you get to chew. I'm the chew of sipping.
I've had it before. Yeah. I've had it before. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Was it five flavors? Three flavors. Asian cuisine that used to be in Tillman's Corner. I believe now it's on Schillinger's. They had a honeydew melon boba tea. Just unbelievably good.
Hmm.
The honeydew melon flavor was just unbelievable. So in that one little strip where we were.
You got a grocery store there. You got
Asian market. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, you get your Asian on there. You can get your Asian on there for sure.
And it's a good thing for people to understand because Mike is learning this as I am forcing him into the Asian foods. Asian food is not just what you've seen on a Chinese buffet.
I've probably been eating more noodles and vegetables combined in a broth than I ever have in my life.
And it's terrific, isn't it?
It is.
And, you know, Japan has the least amount of heart disease and heart-related ailments of any nation in the world. And they don't eat brown rice there. They eat white rice. So all these nutritionists tell you, you got to eat brown rice. No, you don't. They don't eat brown rice in Japan. They get the bran off of it. They eat white rice, and they are the healthiest people in the world. Of course, number two behind them is France with the least amount of heart disease. And they eat heavy cream and butter all the time. But they drink a lot of red wine with the Resveratrol, and they walk everywhere they go.
Oh.
So
a lot of Europe does.
Yeah.
So, a lot of Europe.
Yeah.
And bicycles.
Yeah.
Fuel is so expensive over there, too.
Yeah. If you exercise a lot, you can eat anything you want.
Oh, my friend Derek Knight.
Yeah.
He's like lost half a body.
Yeah.
And looks great.
Yep.
And he's a tall guy.
Yeah.
But
he walks a lot, doesn't he?
He walks every day, all the time. And I had another guy I knew, used to own a restaurant and a bar downtown. He does it anymore, but I didn't recognize him one night, one afternoon, and he said, he told me his name. I said, oh, my God, man, you're half the size you used to be. I said, what do you do? He said, 5 miles a day. 5 miles a day.
Yep.
And, yeah, I believe you could eat just about anything you want. And if you walk every day, you don't have to go to the gym.
Yeah. It should be a balance.
Yeah. Don't overeat. Don't go back for seconds.
Yeah.
You know.
There was a fundamental change in American society that happened around 1960. Prior to that, dinner plates were 9 inches in diameter, and there became a trend to add a 1-inch rim onto the plates, making it 10 inches. Well, Americans didn't realize they weren't supposed to put anything on that 1 inch. It was just for decoration. and people started filling the plate like they always had. They just, it didn't dawn on them, hey, this plate is bigger. They just, this is how much I'd already put on a plate, and I had it this full, and I ate, and everything was fine. But that extra inch added a whole lot more calories. And that is the very beginning of the obesity epidemic in America.
I think it's part of that. Yeah. I think the other thing is the processed food.
That came later on.
Oh, well, I'm just
saying that's
fast
the
food.
1970s. Yeah. Jimmy Carter was approached by a chemical company called Monsanto, who said that they had come up with a genetically modified corn that could stand up to their Roundup weed killer, but not harm the corn. Hmm. And Jimmy Carter said, we've spoken with the FDA. They said they're ready to test it. It'll take about 20 years, which is the minimum anything should be tested to see the effects on the human body, because that gives you two generations. Mm-hmm. 20 years, and we'll know whether or not it's safe. And Monsanto said, yeah, you sure you can't speed that up a little bit? And they threw a little money around. And the FDA said they could have some preliminary stuff in about 10 years. And then Monsanto decided to address his ego. You could be the man. And because Jimmy Carter was a good man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, big heart.
So the money wasn't working with him. But they said, you could be the man that single-handedly wiped out hunger and starvation on planet Earth. No testing at all. Mm. Genetically modified corn immediately went into our food system. And that is what turned a possible obesity crisis into an epidemic.
The other side of that, there's a lot of connections to what you're talking about, because growing up in the Midwest, you know, you had a lot of farmers privately owned. That changed very quickly around that same time because of that.
Because of?
Genetically modified. Well, our fields over here are supported through a research, and that money was too good to pass up. Yeah. So the farmer would say, okay, sure, you could take this many acreage out of what I own. Bam. They turned it into.
Yeah. There's a couple of documentaries. One of them is called King Corn.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that if you want to understand the issues in our food system, that you watch it.
Yes.
Monsanto is a horrible corporation. I know that they are big in Baldwin County, but they are not a food company.
No.
They are a chemical company. Yep. They should have nothing to do with our food system. But they did something. They essentially, in my opinion, they bribed a lot of judges.
Hmm.
Because federal law, going back to the Constitution, prohibits the trademarking of a plant.
Right.
Or anything botanical. But they were somehow got judges to allow them to trademark their genetically modified seed, which is illegal. You can't trademark that. It's a plant. Then they started, and this is all documented. This isn't conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
This is all documented. Once they did that trademark of it, then they started deliberately cross-pollinating corn that wasn't genetically modified with theirs, so that they could then come into your property, test your corn without your permission, say, find their DNA in it, and then all of a sudden you work for Monsanto.
Right, right. That's what happened to a lot of farmers as well.
Yeah. It has happened in the U.S. and it happened in Canada. Nowhere else in the world do they allow American corn, unless it's to feed starving people. Because of that, because it's genetically modified. Monsanto tried the same thing in Mexico. And the Mexican government said, no. Maize is a huge part of our culture. If we find genetically modified corn, your Monsanto corn growing in Mexico, we're putting arrest warrants out for all of you.
Wow.
With a shoot on site order. Monsanto will not, their executives will not go to Mexico because they're criminals there.
Interesting.
That's how bad it is. And I've gone through it before. You take the genetically modified corn, you feed it to cows that aren't supposed to eat corn. They're
right.
supposed to eat grass. Instead of it going through their digestive system in 8 hours like grass does, it spends 4 days in their stomachs, which is the perfect breeding ground for E. coli.
Hmm.
They then poop out their poop, which has 10,000 times as much E. coli in it as it should have. We then take that poop and we fertilize all of our farms, and that's why you get E. coli breakouts, which you shouldn't have, in things like spinach and cilantro and lettuce.
Mm.
It's all connected back to that one thing of genetically modified corn.
Wow.
And it's and then you throw in the other things we talked about, hydrogenated oil, which is another processed food that is horrible for you. That's shortening, folks. It's terrible. Eat lard. It's healthier. Butter is healthier. And that is another thing. And then what they've just eliminated, a lot of these dyes that are made out of crude oil or the tar that comes out of coal. That's been causing the bulk of our mental health issues in this country.
I was at the grocery store yesterday, and I heard a mom talking to her three little kids on the cereal aisle, and they were trying to pick out a healthier version, and she was reading all the dyes in there. No, honey, we can't get that one because they're
if you know, kids are suffering from
ADHD, Mom, we need this. Or not, we need this. Yeah. And she was reading, no, this got this dye, and we can't. I liked seeing that. I like seeing people being aware of what's going on.
Read the
kids'
label.
Body.
We'll talk about it more when we come back. 251-343-0106.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
You know, welcome back, folks. We got a real deep conversation going on here about dyes and chemicals and all that. Stu.
That's me.
Going into what we've been talking about, because this is serious stuff. This is really serious stuff. And you know, Brandon, when he was growing up, we struggled a lot with learning problems and attention deficit and all that and slow learning. But it seems like we didn't have that back when I was a kid, but I wasn't eating.
You weren't consuming high fructose corn syrup.
That and all these processed foods like chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. You had a two-income family, and you get home, you want to fix the quickest and simplest thing, and then they get to where that's all they want to eat, and you're sitting over there eating healthy, trying to eat healthy, and they're just wanting their packaged, processed chicken nuggets and all that. Let's talk about our Robert F. Kennedy Jr., what he's trying to do. We're not trying to be political here. We're just trying to be common sense.
Right. We only deal with politics when it deals directly with what we talk about.
Yeah, and I feel he's not doing politics. He's doing what he thinks is great for America.
Because he was born wealthier than any of us will ever be. He doesn't need politics to have power or wealth.
Right, right.
He's got some thought processes that are a little weird.
Yeah, I know.
But for the most part, these dyes in our food, we don't need them.
Mm-hmm.
Just go with the natural color of food.
What's interesting is you said earlier before the break, that these are made out of oils or petroleum products and stuff of that nature. That doesn't send a red flag to anyone?
Yeah, it's a real simple thing. You don't have to be a scientist to figure this out. If human beings haven't been eating a substance for thousands of years, and then all of a sudden you give them a substance for their body to process that their body has not experienced before, it's going to reject it. Just like if I take my liver and stick it in Steve, there's a good chance it's going to reject it.
Mm-hmm.
The body rejects things that
even
it doesn't
with a nice Chianti.
Well, fava beans, you got to have the fava beans.
And the fava beans.
Even with all, think about all the, there's 8 billion people on the planet, okay? Yeah. Each one of those individuals reacts differently to certain substances.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And so even you have twins. To take that into consideration, but we like to generalize and blanket everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that's we've come to. It's like, as long as it works economically and everybody's, can afford it. It's not just that.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, convenience.
Yeah.
Is a code word for laziness. There was always this argument, well, I just don't have time to cook scratch for my family. Then you need to cut some other crap out. You don't need to go to hot yoga. Your kid doesn't need ballet lessons or to go to baseball. You need to scratch cook them 80% of the meals they eat. 80%.
Wow.
Anything more than that is child neglect. because it's unhealthy.
Well, it's neglect in general of yourself as well.
Exactly.
That's part of the reason why you're going and exercising. You're trying to burn off all
that's
this other
your
stuff.
Choice. Your kids don't have a choice in whether or not you feed them garbage or not.
Mm-hmm.
They're victims of your laziness.
It becomes natural for them, normal to them. It normalizes it.
When my niece had her first two kids, she was going to be one of the mothers who was not going to be in the kitchen all the time. So it became a joke when they were young. Every time they heard a bell, they'd go, dinner's ready, because everything came in the microwave. She now cooks holistically. Cooks. That's the biggest thing that I'm so proud of her. She cooks and enjoys it. But she grows her own stuff. They have goats just so she can make her own goat cheese and goat milk.
We do a protein, a lean and a green. We do a protein and we do a vegetable. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
Right.
And we don't
fact for you.
We don't. I try not to put the breads and have potatoes over here. And you know, that's a special occasion. On a daily, nightly dinner, I try to have two items of vegetable and a lean or a protein. And that's it.
Well, you shouldn't have a balance. Carbs, proteins, all that. Now, that's good.
Give us your stat here.
The stat says one study found that 70% of the country's food supply is ultra-processed.
Yep.
70%.
Ultra-processed, too. If you take fresh green beans, you put them in a can with water and salt, seal the can, roll the can through hot water, which is how canned foods are cooked, by the way. They're cooked inside the can.
Mm.
That's a processed food. But it's not ultra-processed because you've got water, salt, green beans, and heat.
Okay.
So we talked about tofu. That's an ultra-processed food.
Mm-hmm.
White sugar is ultra-processed.
Right.
It takes 23 different processes to go from sugar cane to that white sugar table sugar that you see. 23 different chemical processes or mechanical processes that has to go through.
Including bleach.
Right. That's an old. And the great thing with the what's most people know is sugar in the raw, the browner sugar, is because it still has the bran, it goes through your digestive tract 30% faster. That's important because if it's in your digestive tract 30% less, that's 30% less calories your body is absorbing.
And you mentioned it's fiber, too. It's bran. Mm-hmm. So it's also helping you clean
it. And that's what the bran does. It pushes stuff through your digestive system faster so that you absorb less.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a bad thing if you're talking about vitamins and minerals. It's a good thing if you're talking about sugars and fats because our diet contains too many sugars and fats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to denote the difference. The sugars, nothing is simple. If it's simple, it doesn't work. There's no magic pill. There's two kinds of carbohydrates, simple and complex. Complex are fine. That's an apple because your body's going to break it down. There's plenty of fiber. It's going to push it through before your body absorbs all the fructose in it.
Most fruits are like that.
Right, exactly. Fruits are a complex carbohydrate. Bread is a simple carbohydrate. It's just a lot of sugar held together in a matrix formed by gluten and water and protein. But it's sugar. So I've told Mike before, if I'm eating pasta, there's no garlic bread. I know that's hard for a lot of people. Hard for me.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. But if you have pasta, you don't need garlic bread. If you're going to eat bread, you don't need pasta.
I do a simple thing where either butter and garlic or olive oil and garlic and pasta over here and then I just combine them. And that's simple. Or maybe put some parsley in it. Yeah. But I don't have garlic bread.
I can see people.
I don't
right
have
now.
A salad over here with Italian dressing on it. You know, I just have simple stuff. Just cook simple.
Yeah.
What I find amazing, and I see a lot of people shaking their heads right now, because the common menu, if you order something like a Pizza Hut or a Domino's or Godfather's or whatever, is not only do you have your pizza bread, but now you've got cheese bread. And then you've got other breads to go along with it as a side dish. Why is that?
It's a lot of bread.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of sugar.
Also, keep in mind, bread is not evil, and I don't like people that villainize bread.
Well, I'm not
because
doing that, no.
Without the invention of bread, mankind doesn't exist.
Manna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, even the Egyptians made the first bread. They found out if you had flour, and water, and there's a little sugar and a little yeast.
Boom.
It all comes together into something you can eat if you cook it.
Yeah.
Now, and it may not be anything that we recognize today, but it would be unleavened bread, a lavish bread that you may have seen in international markets, a similar pita.
Do you know where wheat came from?
North Africa, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is basically Egypt. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. Which is, yeah, that's where Egypt is. It's Morocco, it's Tunisia.
Yeah.
It's the Mediterranean Sea, which is the most remarkable body of water on this planet when you look at it culturally.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as we mentioned, you've got Egypt, you've got Morocco, you've got Tunisia, you've got Libya.
Mm-hmm.
You hang that little curve north and look at there, you're in Israel. Then you got Syria, Jordan. All of that, you hang that little left up there, now you're in Hungary, Turkey, Italy, Greece, France, Spain, and it's all on this one body of water, and it's essentially all of Western culture. Came from the Mediterranean Sea. I've always been fascinated by it, the food, the culture, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the music that came from it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that wraps us all back around into Egypt came up with bread. We talked about it last week, how international the burger was. Mustard comes from India.
Right.
Ketchup originally from Asia, but was altered by the Italians to include tomatoes instead of fish heads. You know, cheese, I believe, also India.
No, that's Wisconsin.
But a lot of – and there's also a lot of this – a lot of technologies that they go, well, how did the – Native Americans and the people in Egypt all come up with the same technology. Well, you know, it's not that hard. If you want to build a tall building and you don't have anything like a superstructure, the only way to do it's in a pyramid shape.
Yeah.
It's just common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these things mankind figured out without being connected because it's logical. You know? And so, like, cheese probably started in two or three different parts of the world all at the same time in different variations because if you've ever had paneer from India, which is a cheese made from whole milk, it looks like tofu. It just sets up. You can cut it square.
Mm-hmm.
It's soft and gooey, but it's so delicious. It's just whole milk.
Hmm.
And that is the only cheese I know of that comes from Asia is paneer because, like, the banh mi, you didn't see any cheese options on that, did you?
No.
Because there's no cheese in Vietnam. There's no cheese in China or Japan. As we know it.
I didn't know that.
As we know it in Europe.
Why would you think?
Probably environmental conditions. Cheese evolved because we would store milk in the stomachs, use the stomach bladder of what's called ruminants, which are your four-legged animals that walk around, have multiple stomachs like a cow. There is a chemical that is natural to that stomach lining that is what makes cheese start to set up. So they would put the milk in the bladder, and at the end of the day, cheese would come out. It was an accident. Beer was an accident. Wine was an accident.
Right.
But Teflon was an accident.
Was Teflon an accident?
Yeah. It was supposed to be a gas.
Real quick about Teflon real quick. If you have Teflon-coated pans, and anyone in your home, especially elderly or young, seems to get the flu a lot, it's because you're cooking too high on your pan.
Yep.
Teflon pans should not be cooked above medium heat.
Don't use Teflon at all.
I was going to say, that was a special I watched.
Ceramic is a great nonstick surface. It's cheap.
All clads, I'm going to tell you, all clad for a good low end, you can buy them at Home Goods. All clad, man.
To me, the most ultimate pans out there would be La Crusette. Cast iron with a ceramic nonstick on the inside. Yeah, they're expensive, but you'll never need another pan.
251-343-0106 is the call or text in line. We're going to be wrapping it up in the next segment, our last segment for the day.
Ever?
Not forever. For today.
Chicken, ice cream, fish. I like ice cream. What's this?
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All that cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When he gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spooty, ooty, drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spooty, ooty, drink wine, mop, mop,
look for some.
Wine, spooty, ooty, drink wine,
mop, mop. Bye, bye. All right, welcome back. Before we get back into our heavy subject we were on, I want to do some birthday shout-outs. I want to say happy birthday to Greg Bushman. Greg used to own a bunch of restaurants over in over in the beach area, and he's still a well-known guy and a heck of a chef.
And he wised up and got out of the business.
Well, he's still in it, but he's not like he used to be. But great guy overall. Want to say happy birthday to Andrew Manis, College Hill Package Store and their empire. One of the many Manises.
The cigar empire.
Yes. And great wine shops and liquor stores.
I've been craving a cigar lately.
Go get you one. Yeah. Nobody's stopping you. You're a grown man. Yeah. And our friend Lauren Murphy. What a beautiful girl. Lady. Hard-working lady, too.
Yeah.
Traveling a lot.
One of my favorite voices on the Gulf Coast. She's now living in Louisiana, but she still plays here a lot.
A lot.
In Fairhope, Gulf Shores. My schedule hasn't matched up. I love her style of music. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was written in Northern California when she was living in a cabin up in Sasquatch country, so it really speaks to me. It evokes a lot of that Western stuff from my mom's side of the family.
Well, she sat here and played one time when you were out.
Yeah, she brought her guitar when I was here too.
She bring that guitar and sing for us. You got some birthday, didn't you?
Yeah, Chris Lilly, the most famous pit master in the state of Alabama, Big Bob Gibson's.
Yeah,
in fact, just took
Memphis in May again.
Yeah, Memphis in May. I don't know how many times he's won pulled pork. Mm. But the place famous for their chicken, he keeps winning pulled pork. and also Rachel Yachts of. One of the yachts that own, I'm telling you, that couple, the yachts, they look like they should be on a yacht, and they look like they should be on Esquire magazine. They look like movie stars, but they own Time on Section.
Okay,
they're in Fairhope, wonderful restaurant.
I was going to ask you if they have a yacht.
Well, this is spelled differently. They spell it Yots.
Okay, all right. I got also yesterday was the Blue Marlin Grand Championship.
Really?
Yeah. I want to go to that. And I didn't know what was going on.
It was Pensacola, right? Is that one?
No, at the wharf in Orange Beach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Pensacola is the bill fishing tournament.
Two and a half.
They had the Blues, too.
$2.5 million in prizes.
Wow.
So guess who won it?
Not me.
A team called the Grocery Isle. Who do you think would be the Grocery Isle?
Rouses? Oh, is it
Donnie? Donnie Rouse.
Oh, okay.
Donnie Rouse's team.
Chef Nino was there somewhere.
I don't know. I don't think he does them. Does that anymore?
Yeah, but he still has a place in Orange Beach.
Probably does. I know that Rouse's do, and they won the whole thing, and with the biggest blue marlin. So, and real quick too, I want to go to what national day it is. You're gonna love this. Tallow Day.
Fry some French fries, y'all. A little beef tallow. That's got to be a big subject. McDonald's used to fry their fries in before they turned into Frankenfoods.
Mm-hmm.
Before people decided that tallow was bad for you and they switched to shortening, which was far worse.
Speaking of which, going back to the subject, Paul, America's Georgia, is on the phone, called in a big fat surprise dealing with Monsanto and other foods. Could you explain that a little bit more, Paul?
Yes, sir. Guys, I thoroughly enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
Y'all have great insight, particularly somebody that grew up working in restaurants. The stuff y'all talk about is just so neat because it brings back a lot of memories. there was a book called The Big Fat Surprise that I read years ago. And if you get a chance, it goes along with everything you're saying, but it talks about how Archer Daniels Midland and some of these other big companies push the hydrogenated oils, parquet, margarine rather than butter.
Yeah.
And the low fat. Remember the low fat craze in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And basically the gist of the book is you're better off eating a baked potato with butter and sour cream because you're going to get full and you're not going to graze all night.
True.
But anyway, just your topic is just fascinating. If you get a chance, check out that book, The Big Fat Surprise.
Big Fat Surprise. Okay.
Appreciate you calling, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Which is what I get called every time I go on a blind date.
Big fat surprise.
We let corporations get involved with our food, and that wasn't a good thing.
Not just corporations, government itself.
Yeah, for real.
Federal regulations. I mean, I get the idea of safety.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that, but the control, just like with anything, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right. The FDA and the USDA are two of the most corrupt departments in the federal government.
Well, it takes a little money and you get this to go.
Yeah, and we keep taking people who are from an ideology concept opposed to what those agencies are supposed to do, and we put them in charge of it. Tom Vilsack has now been the FDA secretary twice. This is a man that no farmer in Iowa wants to live. He was the governor of Iowa, and they could not get him out of the state fast enough because he corrupted the farming system there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have twice put this guy in charge of the entire – and he's not a farmer, folks. He's a lawyer. He is a lobbyist for Monsanto.
I was going to say, also look up his connections to DeKalb. Yuck.
Yeah.
And we keep putting these people. You get tasteless food sometimes? There you go.
You know who should be in charge of the FDA? A chef.
Duh. Or at least on the panel.
Right. Hire someone that knows what they're doing. Don't hire a politician. Don't hire a lobbyist ever for any reason.
Like that is hiring a plumber to fix your car.
Right.
Like, you know.
Exactly.
It's a kind chef, of the same thing.
A chef should be over the FDA, at least the food part of it. A chef should be. You know who should be over the drug part? A pharmacist. Someone who knows what they're doing. You know who should be in charge of the agricultural department? A farmer. You know? A professor from Auburn University or Texas A&M, one of these schools that is
agricultural
is the reason that we are able to feed 330 million people on one-tenth the amount of farmland that we had 100 years ago. Put one of those people up there.
Yeah, it's hard to not go back to simple things when you've overcomplicated things and you've convinced the whole nation that this is no longer the way. It's easier the other way. No, it's not. Yeah. Simple still works.
Yeah. Look, I think time has a lot to do with everything.
Oh, yeah.
With feeding your family at night. You're so busy making the money to buy the food to feed your family and pay your bills and all that. But I would like to get back to eating what's in season, eating as local as I can.
Right.
But let's talk about vegetables that are in frozen bags. And
those are perfectly fine.
I was hoping you would say that.
They are picked at the peak of I would tell you now, buying a frozen vegetable at a grocery store is healthier than buying the fresh vegetables at a grocery store, unless it's something that is in season and purchased locally.
Now, let me add, Publix has this thing. I like to go to all different kind of stores. Publix has these vegetables. They're not frozen. You put the bag, of course, you slit it open, put it in the microwave.
Yeah. There's your convenience right there.
Yeah.
We'll provide you a cooking process with a fresh ingredient.
Pre-washed, good quality vegetables in a bag. You slice the bag. Actually, you punch holes in it.
Yeah.
And you put it in the microwave.
And
you're in a hurry. Yeah. And you've got a quality vegetable. So, folks, thanks for listening to that. Sorry, we had so much more. We'll talk more about this next week.
Or we won't.
Get out there, support local, be local, buy local, and of all things, above all else, provolone. I'll get it out.
Make me happy.